happy boo year on the graveyard shift. We are done with the year of the optometrist, and we are ready to take on the year of 2021. My name is Mike, and I never work the graveyard shift alone. If you're happy and you know it, say hello to my guest, Richard.
Well, hey there, Mike. How's it going? How you doing, tickly-doo?
Better than your last intro.
Oh, go fuck yourself, bitch. I fucked your mother. I fucked all your mothers.
At least it's more on theme than your last one. So, yeah, Rich is getting into the spirit of today's movie. Oh boy, it is a doozy. So without further ado, let's get into it. Today's episode is Preschool of Rock, because we watched Little Monsters. Released in 2009, not the 1989 classic.
2019.
What did I say?
2009.
Well, I definitely did not mean that. It was 2019. It was just, it feels like last year. So, this is a fucking doozy of a movie. It was directed by Abe Forsyth and produced by Jody Madison, Bruna Papandrea, Steve Hutensky, Keith Calder, and Jessica Calder. Written by Abe Forsyth, starring Lupita Nyong'o as Audrey Caroline, Alexander England as Dave Anderson, Cat Stewart as Tess, Diesel La Turaca as Felix, and Josh Gad as, well, Rich's muse, Teddy McGiggle.
Oh, he is, oh my gosh, he is something.
He fucking eats up the scenery. And that's some competition because everyone is eating everything else. With music by Piers Burbrook DeVere, cinematography by Lachlan Milne, edited by Drew Thompson and Jim May, produced by Screen Australia, Protagonist Pictures, Made Up Stories, Snoot Entertainment, and Neon. Man, usually whenever there's so many producers or production companies involved in one movie, it ends up being like a case of too many cooks spoiling the pot. But this was a case of everyone shoring up everyone's weaknesses. It was distributed by Hulu in the United States, Altitude in the United Kingdom, and Universal Pictures in Australia. Released all throughout the year. January 27th, 2019 at the Sundance Film Festival. October 8th, 2019 in the United States. October 31st, 2019 in Australia, despite the fact that it was made in Australia, they somehow got it third. And November 15th, 2019 in the United Kingdom, with a delicious runtime of 94 minutes.
It's like pretty much perfect.
All the fat's been trimmed, it is pure meat on this bone.
Didn't there used to be an old, what was that guy? He was like this old fart that used to be on the show, and he used to love 90-minute movies. Remember that old fuck? What was that old fuck's name? That retired guy. Oh, man. We got to dust him off sometime.
Yeah, the guy with the old sounding name. So.
Yeah. What was it? It sounded like a drink. Was it Sherry? I can't remember.
Shell Oil? He was named after something. So, this movie, I didn't manage to get any trivia on this movie. It's just some brilliant piece of film that was made. And then you suggested it to me. Well, you made me aware because first we wanted to just talk about Little Monsters, the Fred Savage, Howie Mandel classic. And then you're just like, oh, which one? And I thought, what? Did they remake this? And you're like, no, they made another one. And then you sent me the trailer.
Oh, the trailer kills it too. You're just like,
fucking excellent concept.
Yep, for sure.
So the synopsis is a basically the Australian version of Jack Black, who is like a rocking, schlubby asshole, fucks up his relationship and ends up looking after his sister's
holy shit, wait.
His nephew.
The Jack Black thing, that's fucking brilliant. I'm just thinking about that, and that gets more perfect every minute that goes by. I'm like, why isn't it Jack Black?
Because it was in Australia. And even their version of Jack Black is fucking ripped.
It's shit. Okay. That was such a great observation, though. Gotta give it to you there, man.
So, Jack Black ends up babysitting his nephew at school, and they end up going to a kid park, like a little kid place, like a, what was it, like Putt Putt Land, or it's like a golf course slash
Paradise. It was something Paradise.
Only
Adventure Paradise or Adventure something Paradise. Like that.
Even in Australia, the kids' resort golf course has live alligators just roaming around.
To be fair, they have that at Busch Gardens in the States.
The alligators are loose, but the sheep are penned up for the, I guess, the kids' safety. Because it's Australia.
That is a good point. Yeah.
I mean,
but they do have that at Busch Gardens.
Look on the bright side. I mean, the brown recluses and the black widows will get to the alligators before the kids do. So they're safe. They're fine.
There's some other things about this location that I will get into later.
It is not the famously murderous wildlife that Australia is known for that lay siege to this idyllic little outing. It is a zombie invasion. And, oh man, trying to inject so many genres of film together, like feel-good movie, dejected rocker, washout asshole gets redeemed. Like
rom-com.
Romantic comedy.
Yeah,
or just like slapstick comedy with, you know, Josh Gad being like the children's entertainer who's a bit of a prick. And when I say a bit of a prick, I mean... So
he needs to remake Death to Smoochie.
He could.
Just saying.
So combining all these different genres is difficult. Because it's often a case of like saying, hey, peanut butter and honey taste good together. Why not peanut butter and ketchup? And then you're like, no, those things are nice separately. No. So it takes a deft hand to just combine genres like Mercy mm-hmm. Christmas. It combines like Hallmark movie and Saw / The Hills Have Eyes. And
intriguing.
And they make it into like a wholesome, feel-good, gory horror-thon. So it is magic and lightning in a bottle to just take
magically these delicious
magic lightning in a bottle. So it just takes a deft hand to combine disparate genres like this and mix them together well. Because most people try to come up with like a stew of different parts coming together to taste great, and they often come up with like swamp water, where you just take different soft drinks and try to mix them together and be like, hey, 7-Up is good, ginger ale is good, Orange Crush is good, this should all be great together, and oh, it's swamp water.
It's the middle of winter, now you're talking about stew? Now I want stew.
I have stew. It's fucking delicious.
I want stew. I just made a stew the other day. It was really good. Yeah, love stew. This is a perfect movie, though, all around, I would say. Like,
it is a stew. It is amazing.
As close as you can get to a perfect movie of so many different genres that have been combined. Totally agree. And pulled off correctly.
My bads are sparse.
Yep. I think I don't. Did I even get any? I got three. That's it. You got one. Oh, wow. This is a first. Wow, damn. Okay.
Very few criticisms on this one. So,
well, like, let's get into it, man. I'm so excited.
Let's get into worshiping this fucking movie. My first good right off the bat, the excellent acting from the kids. There have been so many movies we've seen where either the kids couldn't act or the kids could act, but they just weren't directed or allowed to do a second take after their first fuck up.
I bet you it's because those are your American kids. These are Australian children. They're much more sophisticated. Just saying.
Yeah, because like the bad acting that comes to mind is for Chopping Mall, where it begins like with an opening scene just to show you like a day in the life of the mall. And one kid gets ambushed by people in an elevator. Like, this is like during a happy moment of the mall. So when I say ambush, it's just shoppers, not like zombies or demons or anything. And it's just to show how busy the mall is. The kid walks into an elevator with his ice cream, unsupervised, even though he's obviously four. And then a crowd comes in. And when it shows the look of shock on his face, like, oh no, he's about to get mobbed. He's like a smiling, like, like. It's like the director just told him, like, be scared. And he's, like, giggling while being like, is this scared? And then he gets like shown, like when the crowd leaves the elevator, he's got his ice cream all over his shirt, and that's the joke. So clearly, like, they could have told him, like, okay, you got your nervous smile out of the way, now let's really act. But no, that was like, maybe he could act, but he was only given one take. These kids, I mm-hmm. don't know the process, but their fucking delivery
worked out
on every line. Like, every kid nailed their role. It was amazingly yeah. directed and well acted from these kids. They fucking stole the show when they were on it. What's your
I think
kid?
They probably gave them Marmite in between takes. Or Vegemite, maybe. That was their reward. Yeah, no, I completely agree. So my actual first thing that I loved about the movie was actually the intro, the montage of the couple just like arguing and bitching at each other. You know what I mean? Like, I was so perfect. And it's funny.
It really made me wonder what was I watching?
Yeah. And I watched this movie. It's funny because I watched it, what was it, like a year ago or something when it came out with my wife, who liked it at the time. And we recently just watched it again as I prepared for this episode. Now that our relationship has blossomed in the past year due to the pandemic, the beginning of this movie takes on a whole new humor to it.
These people were only trapped metaphorically together.
Yeah, it was really funny. We were just like, that's basically us. Fuck. it was really funny. We were just like laughing at it because we were just like, oh my gosh, like it's just like everybody trapped in a pandemic right now. Everybody hates each other. It's hilarious. But it was really, really well done. The music was really well done. It showed how frustrated they were at their relationship. It grew throughout the montage.
They were rampantly arguing.
The stakes were raised.
Screaming at each other in a car. Screaming at each other, like, right across the table at each other at a family function. Yeah. Or, like, surrounded by friends. Like, they didn't even care who was around them. I was sure that one of them was going to reach across and just slap the other one.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And given the level of anger, I could not tell which one it was going to be. It was anybody's guess.
For sure. I totally agree. So yeah, that was my first good. What's what do you got?
You know what? This is just like getting more specific after my first one, but I fucking love Felix. He, like, of all the kids who were great, he like got the most screen time, of course, because he's the nephew, but he is fucking adorable.
They really picked a really good actor.
He fucking nailed his lines as
and his voice, the way that he projects his voice or projects. His, I don't know if that's natural or if he's doing that, if he's just such a great actor that he was able to talk in that specific way.
And this
way.
Was introducing.
I'm not talking about his accent, but the way that he was.
And
talking,
this was introducing him because he was in the credits introduced as Diesel La Turaca. So his name is Diesel. How
epic.
Fucking epic is that? And he was playing.
I wonder how many championships he's going to win.
Oh, man.
Better be careful for his knees.
And
man.
Whenever he shows up as Darth Vader, he corrects himself and does the voice. I'm Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When the uncle.
The best thing ever.
Oh, man. The uncle, he gets into it. He's like, hey, you do the voice.
Yeah.
And then, like, he makes him use the force to open doors and close the doors. And brilliant. When he sees his Auntie Sarah, and we get to see her, like, fucking a guy, like, full tits.
Yeah, she's got nice titties.
Oh,
yeah,
man, she's
got nice titties.
And he's just staring there.
Good for her.
He's in a Darth Vader costume, so you don't get to see his face, but just like the sight of him standing in the door frame, Auntie Sarah, I'm Darth Vader. And Sarah's just like, what the fuck, Felix?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
What are you doing here?
Bah! And, oh, my gosh. I'm going to spoil this. Like, of course, Felix sees his girlfriend. Well, he didn't know ex-girlfriend.
I guess they were on a break.
He thought they were on a break, and she was like, I'm going to break off Roy's dick. Ah. Mm. So then Dave is just like yelling at her, like, yeah, we were supposed to be having a break from the relationship, like not letting Roy get up in your slutty vagina. And then when he, of course, because it, when they're in, when he brings Felix home.
You have to do the accent and every time, eh? Like, oh
then God. Felix is just like, Auntie Sarah has a slutty vagina.
Yeah. Oh my God, at the dinner table. At the dinner table too. Wait, does that lead into? No, that's after my next good. Damn it. Oh, that was going to be such a good
Dave
segue.
Dave giving it the respect it doesn't
my
deserve.
Next good is, and you can figure out why this is on my list of goods, is tofu pizza. Totally down. No dairy, no gluten. Tofu pizza sounds awesome to me. And I actually put it on my meal plan list for next week. I was like, fuck yeah. Sounds great. Use a cauliflower crust too, bitch. Fuck yeah.
And Dave.
He made the
Dave does not like tofu pizza.
Yeah, he ripped Dave on that not, so good.
He does not believe in tofu pizza. His objection to it is fucking good. Like, when I say Jack Black, I mean like School of Rock Jack Black energy.
Yeah, totally.
Like cool uncle, into rock and roll, believes that like a gluten allergy is just a choice or a fad. You know, like it's not like an actual life-threatening condition.
Well, I mean, as somebody who works in the restaurant industry, a lot of people who say they have that are,
So... Dave, I mean, as great as Felix is, his Uncle Dave is a pretty fucking awesome treat too. Like he is like a perfect combination of lovable and also kind of like acerbic. Like you can tell he's got like a fucking attitude and he is a prick, but he is also like a lovable, charming prick. And you find out that Dave,
I find at the beginning, he's not so, it's as it goes along, right at the beginning. Yeah, once you're about 15, 20 minutes in, he starts already to grow quite quickly. But that first few minutes...
You can tell that growth at the beginning is an act because he wants to get into Miss Caroline's sundress.
But like, even though like those first like two or three scenes at the house with Felix and his sister, it's so awkward because he's just being such a fucking dick.
I know.
Oh, he's just the biggest dick with the littlest dick. Being a dick.
And he hears his sister try to explain it to the nephew. Like, you know, like, oh, your uncle's going through a bad time. Yeah. He's dysfunctional, but like, he can't be here if he's going to be like,
after he got his real pizza.
And he like starts.
He brought the real pizza into the house that could literally give the kid anaphylactic fucking shock with dairy, which
fucking foreshadowing. Oh, fuck. That reminds me. The reason he brought the kid to talk to Sarah was he's got little Felix holding up the pizza box lid, and it's still greasy as fuck. Like, you can see the pizza shape on the other side. And he has him the kid's holding up a sign black marker to his girlfriend, who is, I will repeat again, mid-fucking. The kid is holding up the sign because he's not going to get derailed from anything. He has a job from his uncle, and he is going to do it. So he holds up the pizza lid sign saying, "Will you marry me?"
Yeah, that was pretty great, for sure. I actually thought the kid was going to hold up the wrong side and she was going to see the grease, but I forgot that she was fucking.
Or upside down.
So, but that was quite the scene. So what's
right, right.
That's actually one of my goods, too, is using a child to try and get back your ex. That was on my good list. I actually don't know why, but that it was pretty hilarious that he was just like, hey, Felix, come here. I don't know why. I don't even know what kind of accent that
That's
is.
British.
Stop influencing me to do these terrible accents.
Well, first off, you got to like force a nasal. That's basically like a British accent with a nasal application. But my good was that Dave is not against roughing up children because this fat kid, he starts giving Felix some attitude and he immediately decides that he's just going to like, he waits until the teacher's not looking and the kid goes behind a door to get something out of his cubbyhole. And Dave just like slams the door like in a second into the kid's face. And the kid's like, ah! He's like, oh, gee, what happened to you? Like, gently, like, acting it off. Like, he is, like, he's not the one that just assaulted a child.
That was great.
So, like, it just plays up, like, great chemistry and likable characters. Like, Dave, he starts off as, like, the prick, and you worry that he's going to remain a prick. Because there are times where he kind of acts nice in the beginning, but it's always, like, for selfish, stupid reasons.
Yeah.
But he does actually redeem himself throughout the movie, so his character is still fucking great. So
he does eventually. And you know what my favorite part in the beginning of him using the child to try and get his girl back was, is when they fail and they go back to the house and she's like, oh my God, I was so worried. Where the fuck have you been? And I feel like that. Really? I felt like that was a little better, though.
You gotta have it nasally like this. Like, you gotta close off your nose.
Anyway, she was like, where the fuck have you been? And the kid comes in. He's like, what did he say? He said, oh my God, it killed me. I am your father, mummy. And he was like, I am your father, mummy. It was everything so great. I Felix died said. Laughing.
Was fucking precious.
Yep.
Oh my God, he was so fucking amazing.
So what's your next? What's your next good?
Miss Caroline, Lupita Nyong'o. So she is fucking great, and this is like, you know, typical like lithe teacher in a sundress with a ukulele. Like, she just fits the role perfectly. And
that dress is so is actually a really beautiful dress.
Sundresses are fantastic.
It's so bright and fun, and you know, I don't know. I really liked that dress.
Well, it suits her. Like, bright, sunny, like flowing. True.
Yeah. So she's your next good.
Yeah.
Just her in general, her whole character.
Well, also everything about her. What I put in specifically that she does is keeping it together for the kids. Like, even when Dave, he starts, like, rocking out on the bus, she thinks, like, he's into Christian rock because his shirt says, like, God Sledgehammer. So she thinks, oh, he's going to play some Christian rock for the kids. All right. And then he just starts slamming this, I don't know what genre it is, just, like, standard.
Oh, like death metal or something.
Death metal.
Or, like, yeah, it was, like, yeah, thrash or something.
Yeah. And
like, Metallica-esque.
The stunned look on her face, and she's just like, how about we just, you know, keep that but down, like, a little for the kids?
How did she not expect something like that? I mean, take a look at the guy. He wore, like, the same outfit both two or three times that he's met you so far, which were on different days, brought his fucking guitar... his, like, weirdly star kind of shaped guitar.
And an electric guitar, not an acoustic guitar. Something that you...
Yeah.
I mean, did we even see the amp on the bus? Because he is slamming at full volume. And correct me if I'm wrong, but electric guitars need an amp?
No. There was no volume. It was... So I think they...
Do they have some electric guitars that have their own amp built into
the board? No. It was, like, literally all you could hear was the strings. It was terrible. It was... fucking terrible. But he was singing really badly over it. It was terrible.
No, but I'm hearing so, like, as he's slamming the strings, like, it's not just
because they were playing music. No, I know they were playing music in the background, but his guitar, you could hear his guitar just sounded fucking terrible. Yeah, you just had to listen a little closer.
Also, like, the music is terrible. They were blaring like hell, so
it was fucking terrible. I think, though, the music in the background was actually like music in his head. Sort of thing. Like him remembering playing live with his band and shit, right?
Okay, that would have been funny if it cut out to, like, him playing with amazing confidence and everything, and then it cuts to the kid's point of view, and he's just hearing, like, plink, 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 on the strings, and then back in his head as a rock god, and then to him as just some guy screaming on an unplugged electric guitar. That would have been perfect.
But yeah, Miss Caroline, back to your point there, Miss Caroline is probably the best teacher in fucking history. Like, you know, what was it like? 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, 1, 2, eyes on you.
Yeah.
And like, they're this just is like, such okay, excellent let's get writing.
She performs it well, but it's written they must have had a teacher come in to be like, what would a good teacher do when kids start acting up? Because usually you can tell a deficit in writing, like who wrote something. Like if you ever watch Saved by the Bell, you can tell that.
Which one, old or new?
The old one. I mean, did you watch the new one?
Yeah, of course. It's one of the best.
Is Zach Morris still streaming a fucking series racist this sociopath?
Year. I don't know. Yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
He's the governor of California now, though.
Yes, and he closed down all the black and Latino schools.
Yeah.
Just to save money. So he's still a fucking racist. I mean, not only does he look like Trump with the blonde hair, the black and suit, the black and white suit with the red tie, he fucking does not care about black people, black or Latino people. He shuts down their school simply because that's like the first thing he can do to save money. Let's just not educate minorities. Because
ladies
this
and
won't
gentlemen,
have a, this won't have a problem for generations in the economy.
This has been another episode of The Bell Shift.
Okay.
Bell Shift Bayside Podcast.
I just need to know, does he retain his ability to stop time? Has he passed it on to his children?
No. Can't remember. I don't think so.
You would stand out if he did. Does anybody have the ability to freeze time?
Yes. The main character.
His son?
No.
Is he the main character?
Who?
Zach Morris.
Who's on first?
Cunt.
No, he's not. And neither is his son. The center or the main character is one of the girls that comes from the underprivileged schools in the underprivileged zones.
So, the poor minorities.
Yes, that's how you say
the minorities.
Yes. Yeah, the minorities. Oh, that's terrible. But yes. Anyway, back to Miss Caroline.
So
being
she
the best
so she now has the ability to freeze time has been passed on to her. So it's not something that can be. So it's not something that can be retained by people. Like you either lose it as in adulthood, like some sort of like some childlike power. Zach Morris does not retain the ability, and it is not genetically passed on, because he does not send it to his child. So, there is this god in the Saved by the Bellaverse, which bestows temporarily upon people the ability to manipulate time itself for the most trivial reasons. Like, there's an episode where, like, Zach is about to punch, or Slater is about to punch Zach, and he just actually freezes time and leaves. And nobody in the episode says, what the fuck? Zach just disappeared. Like, I was within striking distance of him, and now he is gone. And nobody notices that Zach has the ability to teleport.
Do not remember that specific instance, but yes, I know he has that that ability. However, you know who else had a great ability? Miss Caroline.
To subdue and lead children, yes.
Led through, yes, exactly. Lead the kids. One of my next, or my next good is actually when she took the children from the tractor, which they had used only because the kid knows how to fucking drive a tractor because he's obsessed with tractors, which was foreshadowed at the beginning of the fucking movie that he loves tractors.
Which is good writing.
And his uncle made fucking fun of him for it. And then when they get to the fucking zombie attack, nobody knows how to drive the fucking tractor. And the person who was driving the tractor got fucking killed by a fucking zombie. And the freaking kid's like, hey man, you did the left there and click this and push that and blah, blah, blah. And they drove the tractor. But when the tractor breaks down and the teacher took them and they had that cool drone shot over top of all the zombies and everything, and it showed them it was almost like a video game. It almost looked like a video game where she was leading them on an escort mission.
Yeah.
Or something.
Except this time none of the escorts wandered off and got eaten.
Yes. Well, yes, exactly. And then while they were doing that, though, it was so funny because the what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Dave?
Yes, thank you. Dave, he starts doing he takes the crippled kid in his arms and he takes his crutches or whatever it is, his little walker, and he starts beating the zombies back.
He's beating the zombies with the kid with spinal bifida's walker.
Yeah, exactly. It was freaking hilarious. Oh my god. So that was My next good. What's your next good?
And
also, I have to say real quick, I'm just going to get rid of one real quick because we're talking about the kids. All the montages with the kids. Any montage with the kid, any scene, like quick scenes, like just the kids in general, like you said. But especially some of the montages were really well put together.
Yeah. Miss Caroline leading the kids like through a zombie horde, you think like somebody would scream or get picked off. Like with them being surrounded, you think like, oh, God, like some of these kids are going to get bit. Like it's called Little Monsters. So I'm just thinking like some of these kids are going to get bit and become a danger later on when they find shelter.
Which is funny because we do see kids later who have been bit, but it's not these specific children. And also, might I say that the Asian tourists were hilarious, especially once the one Asian tourist who's left, the one woman is like running away and all of a sudden she like runs into this like this alley and tries to like go through this area. And all of a sudden, there's like 50 zombie Asian tourists all eating somebody.
Yeah, the rest of her tour bus. She runs into the rest of her tour bus. And then like there's one guy dressed up as a koala mascot. And you think like, how the fuck could he be bitten? He's wearing a fucking full body suit. But then you see like one of the arms has been ripped off and like teeth have been like bitten into the arm.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So I'm like, that explains how like despite all this amazing protection. Because the amazing protection is great except for where the stitching is. That shit tears off apparently pretty easily when you got like four people tugging on it really hard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay.
But getting back to the Asian tourist, it starts off with like three Japanese people going golf, like doing the mini golf. And then one of them sees like a zombie walking along the fence and he thinks it's like part of like some like, you know, like some white people zombie walk shit. So he tells the guy like, hey, get a shot of me. So he ends up like posing by the zombie and all you hear is like crunch and screaming and the reaction of the people thinking like, oh no, Uncle Jiro, no. Oh man, it is.
It's pretty good.
My next good, for sure. Which fucking made me laugh because it's like, it's a mini putt slash petting zoo. So you see one guy.
Slash gift shop.
Yeah. One of the park staff with a face full of porcupine quills holding a chewed up porcupine. Like
that was so funny.
He either like just took all the quills in his face and finally got to the meat or he like turned it over.
Yeah.
Like the porcupine did eventually die.
That was so funny. I was dying when I saw that. He has a
beard of quills.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do zombies feel pain? If they don't, he's probably wondering, why is this so hard to eat things?
Yeah, for sure.
And if he does feel pain, well, you know, that's what you get for trying to eat the most well-armored. I mean, second to the armadillo. God, that would have been great if we saw one try to eat an armadillo, but like not get through. And like he does it, like none of them ever think to flip it over, and then like eventually they drop it, and the armadillo gets away.
That would be really funny, actually. The only surviving thing. All right, so my next good is, I'm just gonna skip right to it. Fucking Josh Gad.
That's my next good
because
his lines are fucking solid.
So it starts off like right when Dave moves in with his sister, kind of near the beginning. And he wakes up in the morning from a hangover and he's like, what the fuck? Blah, 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 blah. Swearing at the little kid. And the kid's like, why are you swearing at me? I'm a little kid.
Miss Caroline says that when you do a swear, you got to do a song.
No, isn't it? Is it? No, it wasn't Miss Caroline. It was Mr. Happy Doodle Pants or
His name was. But the teachers like taught the kids when you hear a swear word, you have to sing a song.
No. That was the TV show. It's Josh Gad that did that. Because there's a scene later when he starts swearing in front of the children and they start singing that song and he goes, that song is fucking stupid. I'm fucking bullshit or something.
Yeah.
But
man, so, when you see Josh Gad on the TV, I'm just like, oh, is this guy going to be a background character? Because he already looks fucking annoying. Because he's just like, that same goofy voice that you were in when you started the episode. And then we finally see him and I'm like, oh, he's actually showing up. Like, is this going to be like where he like fucks Mrs. Caroline? But, you know, luckily we don't get to that. Like, I think he tries it first, But then, like, he's got a job to do, so he can't, like, try to seal the deal. But then when Miss Caroline tries to get in the souvenir shop, and she's like, you need to let me in. And he's like, I need you to go fuck yourself.
That was so amazing. And, like, everything he does.
And then she screams, so unlock the door. And he replies, unlock my dick.
And he's so, like, because when they meet him, when they first come up to the zoo or whatever, and he's, like, over in the corner, and all the kids are like, oh, my God, ah! And then she runs over, and he actually, like, pulls her out of the crowd, and he's like, oh, you're such a pretty teacher. Look at you. Like, you can tell he's kind of creepily coming on to her in a way, right? It was real weird. And then now, like, a few, you know, a scene in a bit later, he's like, fuck you, bitch. Like, you ain't getting in here.
Instantly, so the true colors come out. As soon as there's any danger, like, there's no zombies right behind them. He could let them in, but fuck you. Fuck and your then, kids. Fuck but the best anybody part, that's not me.
But the best part is eventually once, like, he kind of becomes a part of the crew or whatever, and he starts letting them in, and he talks to Dave on the roof, and he's like, oh, man, like, the only thing that's been getting me through this is I fuck all their moms. I've fucked so many moms. Thousands of moms. You have no idea.
I hate and kids. I just love sex. I
fucking hate them. I just love fucking their moms. It's the only thing that makes it worth it. I've fucked black moms, white moms, big moms, small moms, Asian moms, and the Jews. Like, that's literally how he ended it, too. And I was like, ooh, whoa. But then, he is hilarious.
The booze runs out, and he starts drinking hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Just to get
oh, my gosh. Hand sanitizer and rubbing alcohol and, like, oh, God. It was so terrible. He's just so fucked up. And
the
best part
is, like, the makeup that gets done on him, because he actually looks, as it goes on, like he's someone who's drinking isopropyl alcohol. Like, just the look on his face, like, his eyes get more progressively darkened and sunken in, and his skin gets more mottled. Like, he looks like someone whose organs are slowly shutting down because he is putting stuff in his body that does not belong there. He looks like a man who is slowly killing himself with poison.
Well, and then so skip ahead to when they actually, so one of the way that they try to figure out how to save the kids is to go and get his McGiggle van, which has a porthole in the top for his little puppet friend.
Froggy
or whatever the kid guy's name is, who's in the van doing the puppet, puts his hand up through the roof and he can go up through the roof. It's got this little porthole and he's like, oh, I'll just drive it over here and the kids will get him on the roof and then they'll jump in and we can get away. It's a car. Yeah, because
first they want to get the tractor in, but he's like, that's fucking dumb. My van, you can get into my van from the roof.
Yeah, so they go there and he, of course, turns on them and he's like, fuck you. Like,
he betrays Dave right away. And the way he stares off into space, like,
staring
while off putting his middle finger while giving up. Dave the finger.
And then, of course, his puppet guy is in the back and kills him. But this where he gets his face ripped off is really well done. You
see his entire face gone, like skull, jaw, everything.
It was really well done. And I don't know whether it was CGI or whether it was actual, like what they did there.
And his guts when he gets ripped apart. And the best part is, like, none of it is, like he's screaming, help me, to the guy he is locked out of the van, who was unable to help him. Not that, you know, he's beyond help
at this point. And who doesn't want to help him, anyway.
He's beyond help at this point. And then, as his final words is, I fucking hate you and I hope you die.
Yep.
Like, he remains a prick to the very, very end. Unapologetic, unrepentant. He is just perfect shithead.
Another perfect moment is when Miss Caroline has to go and get the insulin from a bag that was left in the tractor. And this happens before Josh Gad has finished, has died or whatever. But she has to run out and go and get this because the kid, what's his name, Felix, is having an attack because Dave gave all the kids some chips and didn't read the label properly to know that it had dairy in it, which the kid is allergic to, and he starts going into anaphylactic shock.
He's like, who puts milk in chips?
Yeah, exactly. Which is very true. I've had that thought so many fucking times. Like, you have no idea the amount of things that milk products in that it doesn't fucking need to be in. But anyway, it's just really funny because he takes the insulin, and it's foreshadowed earlier before he goes on this trip with the kid, because the mom shows him, you know, blue to the sky, orange in the thigh. And so he goes, oh, orange in the sky, blue in the thigh. And he does it wrong. And then it stabs him in the thumb and he wastes it. And then Miss Caroline has to run outside and get the other one, to which she does a really good job of getting away from the zombies and attacking them, to when she finally figures out to just chop off their fucking heads.
She's so intelligent for someone savage. Who has never been around these people. Like,
and for somebody doesn't try so innocent, to
outrun.
Right?
She doesn't try to outrun them. She just realizes they're so slow. You can just, like, conserve your energy.
Run around them.
And just, like, run around them. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like, yeah. They will eventually get bored. But, you know, as long as we're on the Mr. McGiggle train, like, Mr. McGiggle.
We're not on the Mr. McGiggle train anymore.
No, because we were talking about Josh Gad.
Now we're on the. I haven't even finished my fucking good yet, asshole. Fuck you.
Yeah, but you.
So she's. I don't give a shit. Shut the fuck up.
I was on your Mr. McGiggle thing, so you just doubled up.
Yeah, now you've taken it off. No, you took it off your list now. You're done with Mr. McGiggles. We got to move on now. So she gets the insulin. She's on her way back, and by the time she gets back, she's completely covered head to toe, basically.
In gore.
In fucking blood and guts and pieces of zombies. It's just disgusting. And the kids are all like, ew, what the fuck? And she's like, oh, no, it's okay. I got caught in a strawberry jam fight. That's right, kids, it's strawberry jam. And then you can see her pick a piece off of her and go, ooh, yuck. Don't touch that piece, kids.
Yeah, but don't eat it. Don't eat the jam. It's bad jam. Yeah,
don't eat that. It was so brilliant. So brilliant.
Yeah. But, you know, to converge our 2 points, Teddy McGiggle and Miss Caroline, when he loses his shit in front of the kids, she tries to play peacekeeper as much as she can. But eventually she just walks up to him acting like she's giving him a hug, but she's actually digging a conch shell into his ribs, like shanking him with it. And she's just like whispering in his ear, these children are my priority. It is my job, which I take seriously. Their lives are sacred to me. Yours is not. So you will do what it takes to be nice to these kids and keep them calm, or I will fucking murder you and make it look like an accident. So just keep your shit together, or again, and she just twists the shell into his ribs to let him know, like, I will kill you, and I can do it in a way that these kids will not be terrified. I know how to cover it up because I am a goddamn teacher, and I am a good one. So keep your shit together and help me do my job, or you will die.
God. Yeah. Incredible. So my final good... This is actually my last good, because I mean, like, the whole movie was good, so I'm not just going to go on about every fucking scene, or else we'll be here all goddamn day, Mike. My last good is zombies love happy and, you know, clap your hands. So when they're trying to get away in the tractor, finally, at the near tail end of the movie, and all of the, they're quite literally leading all of the zombies towards the... military line or whatever, right? they start. She starts. I can't even. She starts singing songs, because the thing with the kids is she sings a lot of songs to them. She's got her little ukulele, and they sing a lot of Taylor Swift. But then she starts singing "Happy and You Know It," and then they stop, and then all of the zombies start going like crazy and yelling and screaming. And then she's like, wait, what? And then she starts singing again, and they all start singing along and like being on the, oh my God.
It was wholesome
zombies. One of the best parts of the entire movie.
If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray.
Yeah. Oh, it was just incredible. Yeah. A lot of Shaun of the Dead vibes in this movie. You know what I mean? Like that type of zombie comedy.
If Shaun of the Dead met Daddy Daycare.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally.
So
anyway, your next good.
All right. So my string of goods is pretty much like the military. When the military shows up, they've cordoned off the park. They're not telling anybody what's actually happening. And It's like the premise is fucking hilarious that it's the U.S. military that's cordoned off this area, and it is in Australia. And they keep saying, like, it's a good thing we get along with these people. Like, how are we going to pretend like these are military exercises? And then they make it clear eventually that they're going to firebomb the park to get rid of all the zombies. And when they see the guy on a tractor, and I'm just like, oh God, please do not kill Dave. Please do not murder Dave. Like, don't make this like Ben from the Night of the Living Dead, where you just like kill the survivor simply because he's tired and he's moving a little slow. But they're just like, oh no, it's a guy. And as they keep their options open, they finally hear Dave saying, like, there's children, I'm bringing children. And the general, who is played by Marshall Napier, but I swear to God, I thought it was Michael Ironside.
Really?
The general. And the line he says was, fuck, there's children? I'm not shooting kids again.
Yeah, but that again, it was so great because he was like, I can't shoot kids again. Like, they really drew it out there.
When they see Dave showing, and then they see Miss Caroline like leaning over, like trying to get attention, and he's like, there appears to be a woman in a sundress holding a small guitar, and
that's a ukulele, sir!
Sir! That's a ukulele, sir!
That was great. That was great. And you know
when they finally get the kids past, they open fire on the zombies, and like everything's great, but the kicker is Frogsy. Even Frogsy the puppet gets a headshot, despite the fact that he is a puppet. So it's a hand shot. But yeah, that they headshot all the zombies, including the frog puppet.
Yeah, the frog zombie.
And to which I have to say, the practical effects are excellent. There's no... If there's any CGI in here, it is so well done, it does not stand out. All these effects look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And it's funny, I thought the bombers, the bombers in the sky were one of the only times I actually thought I saw CGI. And I was like, huh, I wonder how much that costs. Because that was like the only CGI in the whole movie that I've seen so far. Interesting. It was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but if we're going to talk like bad effects, when they, like, the bombers nuke the park and there's no...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, it is just like a mushroom cloud on a green screen, because...
It was pretty funny, though, that they nuked it and you're like, wait, what?
It's like, that's a little close.
You can see the mushroom cloud and you're like, wait a minute, that's not that far.
There should... Like, that's like the bad...
They're like a couple hundred feet from there.
Okay, I guess I might as well transition right into the bads, and, like, that'll be my first bad, is the only because I'm thinking about it right now, the mushroom cloud. Okay, one, everybody would have been like, you would have needed charcoal tablets and to be quarantined.
Scene from Terminator. Scene from fucking Terminator.
Yeah, like everyone should have just had their flesh stripped off them.
Yep.
Because they were that close to the fucking park. And like, there's not even like a gust of wind from the explosion. Not even like a dust storm just sweeping over the kids and everything. Ever, like, at the very least, like, if they managed to make it like 5 or 6 miles away from the park, that should have, like, everyone should have been covered in dust. So what's your first bad?
My first bad is finishing the list of moms you fucked with Jews, actually.
I'm surprised he did not fixate on Miss Caroline's race, where he's just like, I may look fat and everything, but I'm very good at pleasing black women. Like, I given his character, it's very possible he would be like, I have lots of experience pleasing your type of people. Like, I would expect that line from him.
You can't say that.
Something that terrible.
What's your next bad? What's your next bad?
Speaking of Miss Caroline, the only bad I have was that like her dress is appropriately gory and muck filled, but the shovel doesn't have any gore on it, considering that she just used it to decapitate four soldiers to get to the tractor. She decapitated four guys, and that shovel is clean.
Hmm. Maybe she cleaned it with her dress.
For the purposes of...
having a strawberry fight. I don't know. Okay.
And that's my last bad.
Yeah. Well, okay. Really? Okay. Yeah, sure. So I've only got two other ones here. In when they were doing the shop up and getting it ready for, you know, being holed up in there for a while with the zombies or whatever, where the fuck did they get a nail and hammer from in, like, and a shit ton of fucking nails? Because they had planks of wood boarded up against the windows and shit. Where the fuck? They're in a fucking petting zoo, like mini putt fucking gift shop. Where the fuck did they find a nail or a shit ton of nails and a hammer?
The boards.
Like, what?
They're not even like nailing the door to the wall. The boards are just like are along the door itself proper.
Yeah.
Which serves no fucking. Like, it's clear that this is just Dave. Just like, this is like a stress project for Dave. He's not doing anything that is actually securing this door at all. He's just as stupid as possible, thinking if I just like make the door extra thick, they won't be able to punch through it or something. Like, this is clearly, they wrote this as something Dave would do. So,
yep.
I mean, it's a good in that regard, but also a bad in like, Dave, come on, like, put your energy somewhere else, please. But, it look like a Dave thing was fucking rich.
So my next, yes?
No, that was rich.
I'm rich. I'm on first. So my next bad is the fact that his fucking cell phone doesn't work. Because he's out of range. Except that they're literally 500 meters, half a kilometer, which is, I don't know, like 0.3 of a fucking mile or some shit like that for you weird Americans who are the only people left in the world that still use that system of measurement. But yet there's no signal. You know what I mean? And on top of that, there's a signal, what, like maybe a kilometer away or wherever the military have all of the parents and bystanders, you know, like cordoned off, not letting them, quote unquote, into the area. The cell phone works there, but it doesn't work at the actual petting zoo. Like, you would think if there's like a petting zoo that there would be a signal there, whether that meant because there was already one coming in because of a cell tower nearby, or because they had to get their own cellular repeater put in to be able to do that.
I think maybe the military could have jammed it. The military might have tried jamming it. But
then
Dave stood up on a signal by standing on the van. So it's
exactly.
Like, there's no signal up to 10 feet, up to 10 feet and, above ground,
but,
10 feet
but
above
no,
ground,
no, no,
there's no.
no
signal.
Because, it, but also,
they should have got a signal when they were on the roof of the gift shop.
But the gift shop was at a higher elevation.
Nobody tried using their phone. Nobody tried
down a hill.
Yeah, but nobody tried using their phone on the gift shop.
But you have to get down the hill. No, but because the girl said that she'd been trying to call him.
She was in the gift shop. She wasn't on top of it.
No. His sister. His sister had been trying to call Dave.
Yeah, but nobody. Right? Yeah, but nobody was above the gift shop at the time.
But once he got up on the gift shop,
he wasn't even. He was just on top of the van, which is even lower than the gift shop.
No. But that's what I'm saying. Right? Is it makes no fucking sense, because to get to the van, they had to go down a fucking hill to get to the parking lot where the fucking van was. But when they were in the gift shop, let alone on the top of the gift shop,
maybe the van being made of metal was an antenna. Who knows?
What about the roof of the fucking building that they were in?
It was wood.
Corrugated. The roof? No, it was corrugated.
No, the roof of the gift shop was all wood.
I thought that was just the peak. I thought it was corrugated metal Australia.
There was like some corrugated metal.
Well,
like,
whatever.
On the bottom,
either way, it was really
like
dumb.
A little shed
my
on
bad.
Ground level.
That was my bad. It was really fucking stupid.
Oh, there's no excuse for it. It was pretty flimsy.
Let's go to a what the fuck.
Oh, man, I don't have a what the fuck. Like, there was nothing here that, like, aside from the mushroom cloud that does not generate a wind gust. Okay, you know what? Fuck that. I'm retroactively taking it off the bads, and I'm putting it in the what the fucks.
The nuclear bomb to clear out the zoo using a nuclear bomb to clear it out,
which only presents as much. It's the nuclear bomb, which is in all effects a firework. Yeah. Because it does not have an explosive gust. There is no fallout. There is no dust storm that follows it. There's no electromagnetic pulse. Mm-hmm. It only looks like a nuclear bomb because of the mushroom cloud, but is in all effects a very pretty firework.
Exactly. One of my what the fucks is I didn't understand how this is really possible, and that's why it's in the what the fuck zone, is accents for children are really hard to understand. Because some of the kids were quite hard to understand with their accents, I found. Not Felix so much, but some of the other ones I found were very hard to understand, and I wish that I had turned on subtitles maybe, because there was a couple lines where I was like, oh, that kid
my four-year-old nephew is hard to understand, and he doesn't have an accent. He's just kids are like, they talk really gentle and soft, and some of them
maybe, and then all of a sudden I'm so excited and I'm gonna talk about
and then some of them mumble when they talk, so you really have to figure them out. So
my next what the fuck is why the fuck is there a petting zoo 500 meters from a fucking top secret medical army base facility testing area zone where there's fucking zombies?
Well,
that's just bad planning.
I guess the staff need to take their kids somewhere to unwind after violating the laws of God and man.
Yeah, that's terrible. Okay, next what the fuck moment.
I think the kids farm was probably something that's been around for generations, and the base was a pop-up because it was pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
I would have said the opposite, because the base had all of these, you know, cement walls and electronic fences, and there was like tunnels deep under the earth where they were running into zombies and had to use golf carts to get around.
It does take time and money to build those massive things, but the military base, I would argue, is newer.
Anyway, whatever. I would have to say that this is my biggest what the fuck of the whole movie, and by that I mean I think I literally screamed out what the fuck when it happened is when Dave and Josh Gad are fighting and Dave grabs Josh Gad's balls and squeezes them so hard that he fucking pukes everywhere.
He pukes quickly. That, it's not even like, really, it's just instantly like a puke button.
Yeah. It was disgusting.
And he does it twice when he's, I forgot to put this as a good, he bites a zombie and says, how do you like it? And then he realizes, oh my God, what the fuck have I done? And he sticks his fingers in his mouth and immediately explodes vomit.
So in that scene, and I was about to mention this,
because he bites,
not only did he bite the zombie, but he bit a child zombie after beating up five or six child zombies.
He does not kill any adult zombies. He only picks on the kids because he hates kids.
Yeah, so he picks on he goes straight for as he's headed for the van. He sees the playground full of these zombie children.
And he takes a moment.
He takes, the tire swing, and he swings it at one kid, and it takes off the kid's head. Then another one, what did he do to the other one? He, stabbed it or something, or I don't even know. But, then he runs up to the final one and bites its fucking face or something like that. It was so funny. It was so funny.
He goes down a slide at some point. I thought this was going to be Teddy's redemption, where it's like he gets to work out his kid issues, but no, then he immediately betrays Dave, locks the door, and just stares off into space, ready to drink some more sanitizer.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments of the whole movie, is when he was just like, I'm going to get some revenge on these snotty little fucking kids.
And he bites the kid's ear, and I just think, you fucker, you just infected yourself. You are going to turn into a zombie.
And yeah, well, I mean, he did anyway. Only because
you did the most stupidest thing ever.
But although, to be fair, with all that hand sanitizer he just drank.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what he was doing, is he knew that was going to come.
It would have been great to find that out.
My final what the fuck is with the military.
Sir, why are we here, sir?
Zombies again.
Fast ones or slow ones, sir?
Slow ones.
Yes, sir.
like just that moment of just being like
genre
again? Wait, again? What do you mean zombies again? Like fast ones or slow ones? Like it was great that like in this universe of this movie, this has been an issue that the American military has run into numerous times to know that there are fast ones and slow ones. So that means that this has to be a minimum of the third time that this has happened.
Yeah, well,
minimum, this is the third time that this has happened to the American military.
Because, you know, if you think, like, how could America allow such a needless medical disaster to happen? You just have to look on the news and be like, oh, that's how.
Fair enough.
It's like an easily preventable, transmissible disease. Like, clearly there's got to be people that can manage this. And you look on the news and you're like, not in America.
It's getting a little
factual in here.
No respect at all. So that was my final bad, dude. I loved that movie. I am so glad that I made you watch it. It was super fun. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, so let's take it on to the kill of the week. And the kill of the week, I think it's a clear winner, is Mr. McGiggle getting what he fucking deserves, because he is a piece of shit and he gets a gruesome, violent death, which is entirely of his own making.
That is definitely my favorite kill, although there are some other moments that are pretty friggin' hilarious. There aren't a lot of... there aren't a lot of amazing kills, but there are a lot of super fun moments to do with either kills or just disabling the zombies. But yeah, I mean, like, that has to be the kill of the week because he deserves it. You know what I mean? Like, he's so perfectly. And to cap off him being a complete douchebag and this character that he wrote, I'm sure he had something to do with this or something, because I know for a fact he wrote at least one of the songs of the two songs that he sings, quote unquote, sings in this movie.
Teddy's Lament.
Yeah, he wrote it. And I'm wondering if that's where Apple TV was like, hey, you know what? You should come over here and we'll pay you a few million dollars and you can make your own animated cartoon musical.
Have you seen Central Park?
I've seen a couple episodes.
I fucking love it. It's amazing. It's an excellent show. It's worth watching out. Josh Gad, fucking talented masterpiece.
I think I watched the first episode or two. I've watched the first episode or two of like 50 different shows, and I just keep going back and forth because I'm a terrible person and my wife hates me because that's not how people watch TV anymore, yeah. Apparently.
Hey, you're supposed to watch things in order so you can be done with them and move on to something else. Not start, but I think that's nice, and then move on to something else.
No, I miss like
if something's watching, nice. Like, you finish
every
it.
Tuesday at 8 p.m.
That would be like beginning to fuck a girl and just being like, oh, yeah, give it to me. And he's like, yeah, that's nice, but I'm going to go fuck this other person right now, see what they're like. And she's like, but I haven't even come yet. He goes, oh, I'll get back to you, maybe.
Well, I mean, who cares if she comes?
Oh!
All right, Mike. And with that, shall we finish her up?
Oh, yes. The rating. I'm going to give this movie 5 adrenaline shots in the thumb out of 5. Oh, speaking of which, since Dave got an adrenaline shot in the thumb, we should have seen him go through a manic episode, like have to burn off the adrenaline somehow.
Is that adrenaline or is it insulin?
No, it's an anaphylactic shot. Anaphylaxis is treated with...
Thought it was insulin.
No, that would be diabetic. Oh, he's not diabetic. Man. It's triggered by gluten and stuff. So dairy. I think it's like for opening up the airways.
Yeah.
Is it adrenaline?
Well, whatever. We'll have to find out later, I guess. Interesting. All right. Well, I would definitely also give it a 5 out of 5 or a 10 out of 10 or a 7 out of 7. Or a 93 and 3 quarters out of 93 and 3 quarters, because I just loved it that much. There was so little that was bad with this movie, and the things that were bad in a ridiculous way, not necessarily in a pissed off way. So I loved it. You loved it. Man, just perfect. If you have a chance, definitely go out and watch this movie. Don't just listen to this episode. Go out and watch this movie.
Oh, they contain epinephrine.
There we go. Epinephrine. Perfect. Take us home, Mike.
If you want to check out me doing other stuff, I might be doing some stuff with Rich. And as far as other podcasts go, that's all I've got going on for now. Rich? What are you up to?
Doing this sometimes with you. Also, I do the Pop Culture Pub podcast as well. So you can catch me there or here doing guest spots here or there.
Nice. Well, until next time, I'm Mike.
I'm Richard.
And thank you for joining us for another year of The Graveyard Shift.
The Graveyard Shift is a Strange Biscuits production. Visit our website at strangebiscuits.com/graveyardshift to hear all of our previous episodes. Subscribe to us, rate, and review us on CastBox, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify. And don't forget to check out our Instagram at The Graveyard Shift Pod, as well as our Facebook at The Graveyard Shift Pod. Our Twitter is GS_HorrorPod, and if you wish to support the show financially, visit us at patreon.com/graveyard. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show and get bonus content. The theme for The Graveyard Shift is As Brutal As It Ever Was by Technoaxe. Visit their website at technoaxe.com and their YouTube channel for more royalty-free music. Thank you for listening, and as always, stay spooky.